Blog Talk Radio.
Little one, everything is going to be all right. You're listening to Tippy Talk. Time now to sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy the moment. Newborn is the official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. To hear more of their music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy their wonderful sound. And now it is time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk, where we go from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Tippy Talk. Hello, everyone. To our Monday look at first day of the week, and as far as I am concerned, it is the best day of the week. I know most of you like Fridays, which I love, but Monday definitely tops it, especially today, because today we're going to do something totally different than anything we've ever done. I heard a speech a couple of weeks ago by Nick Graham at Toastmasters, and I know you guys are familiar with Toastmasters because we've had a few Toastmasters meetings right here on Tippy Talk. And Nick Graham did a speech that was really, really important for every woman that has a baby that is not yet left home for the first time. To be a 3-month-old or a 3-year-old, or maybe you might want to drop them off the first time when they're 5, but either way, that first time of letting go of your baby will come. So Nick Graham spoke about that. And I remember when I had to leave my kids, I didn't really think about it. And so, yes, it's a very important topic, and it's a great speech, and Nick Graham is really awesome. But more important than that, for me, is the fact that we just don't even think about it. And this is something so huge in your life and in any child's life that it really deserves something. So I'd like to welcome Nick. Thank you for joining us. And I'm so happy that you really decided to come on and share this, Nick.
Hi, Tippy. No, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm happy that you did, because this is something different. You did a speech, but before we go into all of that, let's talk about who you are, what you do, and why would you do a speech like that. So, first of all, right now I know that you're in New York, because that's where I heard you, in Brooklyn. But where did you come from?
I'm from Texas originally. I grew up there, born and raised in the same house, grew up in the same town my whole life, and came out to New York when I was 23 years old after I graduated from college.
Well, you know, you don't sound like you're from Texas. What happened to you?
I don't know. I guess I watched too much TV or something. It's apparently just, I got that Midwest accent that everyone always trying to push. I guess that's what happened. My dad, he's got a really big Texas accent. It's really thick, and he's a big slow talker, so I don't know how I escaped it, but I did.
Yeah, I think that's kind of like a miracle. I don't think too many people get to escape their local accent, and wow.
Well, you
that's
did.
Really interesting.
You escaped your New York, California accent.
Yeah, but now I have this weird accent that nobody can really... People tell me I'm from Puerto Rico, or they think I'm from Mexico, because I don't have an accent when I speak Spanish, even though I don't even speak Spanish. People say I sound European. The other day, a cab driver told me, "You must be European." "Oh, yes, I'm from Switzerland." Right. or something like that. But with you, you really have a standard English. It's a very clean, very beautiful. So I don't think you have any accent that can identify with anything. It's just you definitely sound American. But
well, thank you. I guess.
Yeah, it's really cool. Really, really cool. So what brought you to New York?
I came here for music. I had a pact with a friend from Texas who had moved up here to go to New School, and we did music together. And the whole plan was I would graduate from college, and then I'd go back up to New York and then get an apartment with him and then work on music for however long we could without having to get a job. And so I was able to save up like $8,000 and moved up here, and that lasted me about 6 months. And we just made music for like all day long. I had like my starving artist phase, you know, like where I just really focused on that, and that's all I ever did. And yeah, it was a great time. It was a great time of life, and I don't know, that's what brought me out here. But then that's how I ended up stumbling. You know, I got my secondary education certification in Texas. I was supposed to teach high school. And I always had that as my backup plan. And that's kind of how I ended up stumbling into this.
So what is this?
And this is preschool teaching, which is what I do now. What's that?
It's kind of like totally out of left field, or is it something that you've always thought about?
No, it was completely an accident. And what happened was I was working at this after-school program that's really great out in Brooklyn. It's called Canva. And I was working at this middle school after-school program, and our site lost funding after like 6 months of working there. And so they had to transfer us. And so we got transferred to this elementary school, and they called me in and they were like, "Well, we have an opening for you to come and transfer, but it's with kindergartners. Would you want to do that?" And it had never occurred to me before to do that. But I thought, okay, let me try it out. And I ended up falling in love with it. Like, I don't know, teaching young kids was really fun for me, and it was freeing, and it was just kind of, I don't know, I liked working with them. Whenever you had to teach them how to, I don't know, sharpen pencils and use scissors and things that I was not expecting. I came in giving them lesson plans that were just like, okay, do this huge thing really quick. And realizing, oh yeah, they don't know how to cut the paper in a circle or things like that. And it really made me step back and think about it, like, wow, okay, and there's a lot that you have to learn as a young person that you just kind of forget about as you grow up. And so I ended up going to Hunter College to get my master's in early childhood education, and got that, and now I'm teaching here in Brooklyn.
Wow. I think the most important part to me is that you do enjoy it and that you do love what you're doing.
Oh, yeah. You have to. With this, you kind of have to.
Yeah, because otherwise, how can you do it every day?
Yeah. And people say, you know, whenever they hear what I do, they're like, wow. The first thing I always say is, wow, you must have a lot of patience. And it's true. And for, I don't know, you get asked the same question 1,000 times in a row, or you have people pulling on you all day long, or I don't know. Not children who just don't understand it, like how to sit down, which is a thing, you know, like they don't, you have to teach them how to sit down for 10 minutes because they're not, that's how long their attention span is going to run. And it's just normal for children that in preschool age. And you just have to learn, you know, I can't expect too much of them. It's unrealistic for me to do that. So you have to have patience for these things.
So is it true you have patience?
Yeah, I guess I do. I definitely do.
Isn't that amazing how we always think we're going to do one thing and we end up doing something different that we love to do, but not something that you thought about before? So what about your music? What's happening with that now?
Oh, now that's just, we gave it a real good go. And, you know, that's that was like 10 years ago at this point where we were really pursuing that. And I'm one of those stories of somebody who moved to New York to do music and then didn't make it. But, you know, it was a really good time in my life, and I'm glad that I did it. But now I did it today, but it's just kind of as a hobby thing. And I'll always make music, but I don't necessarily have to, you know, I got to pay my bills also, you know.
Yeah. What kind of music?
Oh, it was rap music. It was like that rapper's rap on. So my friend and I, we were producers. That's what you call people that make beats for rap. And
right.
Yeah, and we went by Record Breakers. That was our name. And
ooh,
yeah, we
like
would
that.
Go to rap shows, and yeah, we would go to rap shows and like try and meet the rappers afterwards and hand them our beat tape, which is like our CD with a bunch of beats on it. And it had our information on it, and we would wait for them to get back in touch with us. And this was back in MySpace days, too. So we would contact rappers over MySpace and try and get them to rap over our beats. And, yeah, we had some good times with that.
Wow, that's fascinating. How much time did you give it? Just as soon as your money ran out, that was it?
No, we went for like a little while after that. Like that's whenever I started working for the after school program, and that was only like a 3-hour-a-day job. So I kind of kept for the rest of my day and night, I would spend like making music and trying to further that. So it went for like 2 years, I would say. We like really worked hard at it. But then my partner, he started getting into country music, oddly enough. He just got into country all of a sudden and joined a band doing that because he could always play instruments. I couldn't. And so he started doing that, and then he ended up moving to LA to do that now. So it was, and then I did some on my own, but it was just kind of like, it was this moment where I realized, you know what, I'm waiting here. I need to start pursuing something. And so that's whenever I got into grad school, because I was like, well, let me become a teacher. Let me try this out. So that's whenever I started trying to do it.
I think that's wonderful. Because obviously you're creative. Only creative people have interest in music. And you're really going to need your creativity with kids because, like you said, it's an endless job. And if you're not going to be creative, they're going to eat you alive.
No, exactly. That's what I always say. It's like there's so many things that I learned, like all these skills that I had built from doing, you know, the rap music thing for so long that just translated seamlessly into preschool teaching. And it was weird to me to see this, like
right?
Coming up with the rhymes and coming up with songs and doing, you know, rhythm activities with the children. Like all of a sudden, like I had all these things to do and kind of just learning how to. Because I used to host a radio show of my own. It was a rap radio show. And so, like, learning how to, like, command a room and, you know, be authoritative, but then also, like, keep it fun and keep it interesting for children that are so young, you have to vary your voice a lot. And it was kind of a lot like how you would do it with, like, announcing rappers on beat tapes or whatever it would be, you know. So it was fun to see how that all translated over.
Yeah, I really do believe that everything happens for a reason. So you learn certain skills and you don't know where in life it's going to lead you, but ultimately you find out, like, wait a minute, that's really helpful with what I learned. Then it all falls into place. And so that's really good. So that's how you ended up doing a speech on how to say goodbye to your child for the first time.
Yeah.
By working with kids. And watching crazy parents do crazy things, I'm sure, right?
I mean, sure, you have some of that, but for sure, it was just, you know, working with children, you learn how to be around children. And it's amazing to me because I realized, like, now that I've had a lot of experience being with children, like, I've kind of learned how to talk to them and how I talk to them. Because you have to, like, learn your voice and your own personal style around the child and around a group of children. And it's one of these things where I realize that a lot of these parents, they're working on their careers, they're doing, you know, a ton of other things that doesn't have to do with children. And then all of a sudden they have a kid and they haven't really worked on all that stuff. And that's just the way it goes. But by having that experience with a child, you kind of have these little instincts and this little know-how about how to approach certain situations. And one of those situations is dropping off. And a lot of parents kind of either underestimate it or overestimate how traumatizing it's going to be for the child, or they just think, oh, it's going to be like me dropping off, you know, my wife at a meeting. You know, it's going to be a quick, easy thing. And it's, you know, it's the first time a lot of these times that children are going to be separated from their parent for any certain amount of time. And, you know, they could use some pointers. And it's something that I wish that I could sit down and tell all my parents before the year starts. And that's why I wrote this speech, was it's kind of like the fantasy of being able to do that and just tell them all, hey, this is what you should do. And we have paper, like an article that we hand out to parents about this. But a lot of times they don't read it, or they just, I don't know, skim it over. But it's a really important thing to keep in mind.
So, yeah, so I do. I think it's really important, and I think it's really helpful. So why don't you go ahead, give us your speech more or less.
Okay, I'll give
what
you my tip.
About, because that's really the meat of what we want to hear.
Yeah, okay. Well, this is like a pre-tip. Before I even get into my tips, the pre-tip is to talk to your children about starting school before they show up on the first day of school. And you want to really, like, go over it with them, break it down, because they don't know what school is. They don't know what that means. And so you just kind of, you know, make it sound fun, make it sound good, make it sound like it's something that they're going to want to do. And, you know, if you're having fears, don't let that go into your speech about how you talk about school, you know, about being separated from them. Just focus on the positive stuff and let them know about, like, how long it's going to be, how long the day is, what they're going to be doing at school, and where you're going to be going while they're at school, because they're going to be wondering where you are, and just kind of lay it out there for them. And I think it's a thing that most parents do. You know, of course you're going to talk about, hey, well, tomorrow's school. But you really want to get it going for, you know, a couple of weeks before you start doing it. Just show them the emails that you get from the preschool, because oftentimes they'll send out, like, big old packets of information and pictures of the teachers and information about them. Read all that stuff to them and, you know, get them ready and show them pictures of their teacher and of their classroom if that's available, because it's going to be, you know, really helpful on those first days. So that's the pre-tip.
So that's a really great idea. Get your kids excited about school. Talk to them about it.
Mm-hmm.
Prepare them. Show them pictures. I think that's a great idea, because you take a kid who's never heard of the word school. I think it'd be kind of like taking any person and dropping them off on another planet without telling them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a horrifying experience a lot of times. And it doesn't have to be, but... You know, also, you're going to be walking in there with a lot of children crying, probably. That's probably how it's going to be working out in those first couple of days. And as much preparation as you can give them, that will help tremendously in that. It's weird thinking about how it must look to a child walking in. Because, yeah, it must be, like, really scary. Because you're seeing other parents crying and kids crying and all these adults you don't know coming up and, like, trying to talk to you. It's just it's a lot of sensory overload all happening, a lot of emotions all mixing up in that first, you know, 5 minutes in the classroom. And so it's something to really think about before you go in there.
Right. That's great. Okay. So now the kid is prepared. We spent all summer talking to him about school, and they're all excited about school, and then they walk into school, and then what do you do as a parent?
And then the first tip is to give your child a warning about you going and to also keep your word. So as teachers, we invite you to come inside as the parent, to come inside and hang out with your child in the classroom. We don't expect you just to say, you know, goodbye in those first 2 minutes. But so come inside, you know, play around with some of the toys with your child. Let them get, because they want to be able to get acquainted with this new space with someone that they love and they trust, which is their parents. But you want to put down limits, and this is the hard part, is you want to tell them, okay, well, I'm going to read one more book with you, and then I'm going to be going to work, or, you know, 5 more minutes of playing, and it's time for me to say goodbye, because they're going to want you to stay, and if you don't set these boundaries, it's going to prolong the goodbye a lot. And it's not. It, also, if you don't tell them when you're going to be going, they're going to be caught by surprise whenever you say, okay, I'm going. You know, they're going to be like, wait, I had no time to prepare. You didn't tell me 5 more minutes or anything. So let them start getting used to it by saying 5 more minutes. Then, and this is the really hard part, and I'm not a parent, so I don't know what this feels like, and so I always, you know, I feel for the parents in this situation. As you go, you're going to want to keep your word no matter what your child's doing. So if you said you're going to leave in 5 minutes, but then they start screaming and crying and calling out for you, it's going to be really tough, but you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to leave the room. And that's it's so important to do that because, you know, if your child's going to cry, they're going to cry. And the teacher's going to help, you know, calm them down. They're going to get used to their surroundings. But if they're crying and then you're staying longer, and you're staying 10, 15 minutes, and then you're staying until lunchtime, which has happened, and you're just staying for the whole day, then what you're showing your child is that, hey, well, if you put on a big enough show, if you start screaming, start crying, then I'm going to be hanging out all day long. You can alter the events of the day just by you screaming and losing your mind. And that's going to make every single drop-off that you do and every single morning as you're trying to get them dressed and get them in the stroller and get them to school, they're going to be throwing the fit already because they're going to be getting prepared for, oh, okay, I got to put on this show. And, you know, they will be genuinely scared too probably, but a lot of it is like, hey, I get my way whenever I scream and cry. So stay strong. Say goodbye and actually leave after those 5 minutes. And again, I don't know what that's like. I'm not a parent, but it can't be easy. And I know it's a tough thing, but you gotta get out of the classroom for real.
Mm-hmm.
So that's well, the first tip.
Yeah, you may not be a parent, but if you've ever had to say goodbye to a girlfriend or to a dog or to anything that you love, you know that feeling of, are they going to be okay without me protecting them? Are they going to be alive when I come back? Are they going to be damaged for life? So basically, that's the kind of thoughts that you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, you don't know these teachers also. You know, you probably haven't had more than a couple of sentences worth of dialogue with them. And you're entrusting your child with these people. And that's, that's got to be scary. And I understand. I get it. I've also, like, one time I had to drop off one of my children to an after-school program with another teacher that I know. And I found it hard to separate from the child because they were crying for me as I was trying to, you know, put them in the after-school program and go back up to my classroom. And I was making the same mistake.
So you know a little
bit
what it's like.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. And that wasn't even my child, you know. And it was still hard for me. So I can't imagine.
Right.
But it is my tip, and I do think it would help the situation a lot. And shall I move on to the second tip?
Yeah. Well, before you go on to the second, so I would say to add to that, to the parents, is don't cry when you leave your child. And I'm not even talking about crying in front of your kids, because obviously if you have a half a brain, you won't cry in front of the kids. But I think even if you go outside and stand there and cry, I think somehow the kids are connected and they know that, and it doesn't make them happy.
I don't know. Yeah, that's part of my third tip for sure. And it is.
Oh yeah.
The
oh, okay.
Thing.
So I'm
cutting
off the tips already, right?
Happened.
See? Okay. So let's go on to the second one because, I think another thing is, like you said you don't really know the teachers, and I think if at all possible, get to know the teachers, find out as much as you can about the teachers too. There's nothing wrong with that. Or have a conversation with the teachers. Is it possible for you to meet the parents beforehand or to meet the teachers beforehand?
Sometimes. I mean, I'm sure certain schools have like whole meet and greets before. We usually
open
have like a day before where parents can come. And so, there's usually opportunities for that. And that, that helps. But still, it might help whatever, feelings you might be having about the strangers that you're leaving your child with.
Exactly. But don't stalk the teachers. I mean, that's not appropriate.
Yes, that would just backfire. It would lead to jail time. You don't want to do that.
No.
Not one of my tips.
Okay. Okay, so that's number one, and I think that's really, really important, because it's really funny how you see some kids will just cry and scream and scream, but if you really look at what's going on, it's because every time they scream, the parent turns around and comes back. So you're teaching mm-hmm. your child that if, when you scream, I'm back, so you're enforcing
yes.
them to scream almost. You're teaching them to scream.
Yes, you totally are. And it's like, okay, we're going to go back in the room and, you know, make your child feel better, of course, but you still have to go to work. So then you're going to just have to do it again. You're going to have to say goodbye again. They're going to start crying again. And you can't be there all day. And if you are going to be there all day, well, then what's the point of sending them to school, you know? So, but, okay, well, moving on. My second tip is to let your child know when you're going to be back. And also the second part of that is to stay out of the classroom. Once you leave, you're gone. So whenever you let them know when you're going to be back, you want to use time language that your child's going to understand. So don't tell them that you're going to be back at 2:45 or 3. Let them know, okay, I'm going to be back after lunchtime or right before nap. And a lot mm-hmm. of times in preschool classrooms, they're going to have visual schedules for the children to look at, and it has pictures of the day. And so they can actually just go up and they can see, okay, my parents are going to come back and pick me up right here at this part of the day. And they can just track that and
right.
give them a lot of comfort throughout the day. So that's what's so important about saying when you're going to be coming back. And this is really important. Don't lie to them about when you're going to be coming back, because we've had parents before think that, well, you know, my child doesn't process time the same way that I do. They don't know how to read a clock. So what you'll say is, oh, I'm just going to go to the bathroom real quick. I'll be right back. And then you go to work.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And, you know, I get you know, why people do that. It's because, you know, you are avoiding that painful goodbye. You know, you don't want them to start crying. You don't want them to get overly worried. But it's just going to cause your child to not trust you in the long run with this particular part of the day. And then that's going to lead them to scream and cry and make things harder, because they're not going to know when you're going to go. And that's going to make things rough for the long run. So don't lie to them about it. And whenever you leave to go, don't come back in the room, because this is part of let them know when you're going to be back. If you say you're going to be back, you know, before lunchtime, but you come back in 10 minutes later because you, I don't know, forgot to turn in a form or, like, drop off the bathing suit for your child or whatever it is, or if you hear them crying from the hallway and you come back in, that's just going to mess with your child's head, and they're going to be very confused, and they're going to think that you're there to pick them up or whatever it is. It can be very confusing for the child. And especially if they're crying, you might think that coming back in to soothe them, as we were talking about. But, again, think about how that makes them feel, where it's you're coming back in to soothe them, they get calm, and then you leave again, just causing them to go back into,
mm-hmm.
you know, hysterics. It's better
yeah.
just to let them deal with it with their
yeah.
parents, their teachers, and their peers, and get used to their classroom and, you know, get through it.
That almost sounds cruel to tell them I'll be back after lunch and come back after 5 minutes and then leave again. It's like, how many times are you going to make the poor kid go through the separation?
Yes, yes. And I've had a couple of parents like that in my time teaching. And it there is such a thing, I believe, as a parent not being ready for preschool. And it's a valid thing.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, and it sounds funny, you know, but it really is a valid thing. You know, if you're not ready as a parent to let your child go, and few parents really feel confident about sending their children to preschool, you know, there's that nervousness, there's that fear involved with it. But if it's really hard for you, then yeah, maybe think about it. Maybe can you stay home? Can you, like, have your child for another semester, another year? Because it's, you know,
or two,
sometimes you're just not ready.
Or 10, you know, whatever it takes.
Yeah, exactly. Just homeschool them. Don't let them meet anybody else. Just stay in the house. But, so that's my second tip right there.
So do you think it might be a good idea to have a class for parents, like, get ready to drop your child in school and kind of prepare them to drop them off. I think first maybe talk about it and then emotionally prepare somehow. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it is a really fine lines. I know it's. I don't know if my school does it just because I'm not usually at these initial parent orientations, and I think it would be kind of cool to do that and show parents how this would work. But at the same time, I wonder if it's bad to do this, and even like bad to give parents this speech, just because I don't know if it's going to make things worse for parents, you know, like that trepidation of the first day. Maybe parents that weren't nervous beforehand would get nervous. I don't know. It's a weird thing. And so I definitely think it's worth trying, and you know, it could be a very helpful part of an orientation. But yeah, I don't know. It's one of these things I think about.
I don't know. I think parents who are not nervous about dropping their kids off in school wouldn't come to the class because they say, I'm not worried about it. This is just
that's
for parents
true.
Who are nervous.
That's true.
So they might
like the parents with their second child. No, I think you're right. It could be an optional thing for sure. I think that
could
be really
good. It kind of reminds me when I was pregnant. I was terrified of having the baby come out of my body. To me, that was like, oh my God, is there really a baby in there? And how is it going to come out? So I went to a class, I think it was called the Lamaze or something like that, or a breathing class, for them to help me, like, really want to have this baby, because I was never going to let that baby out of my body. It was just going to be too cruel and unusual punishment. So I go into that class, and what does the teacher tell us the first thing? I will never forget that. She goes, well, you know, when the baby comes out, you're going to feel like a truck is coming through your body.
Oh my God.
That did not make me feel any better.
Yeah,
now, for sure, I didn't want that baby out of my body. I was like, no, this baby ain't coming out.
Yeah, that doesn't help anything.
No, not at all. So
wow.
Yeah.
And then I've also heard that it's not that – I've heard that, like, giving birth is not how it seems in TV shows and movies, like, where the women are screaming and, like, being all, like, violent, and it's, like, this really violent, like, loud thing. I heard it's not – usually it's not like that. Is that true? Can you – back this up for me.
Well, I was in the labor room for 18 hours. And yeah, you're right. It takes all kinds. I didn't scream at all. I was not a screamer. And my mother ended up telling me she didn't scream. But the lady in the next room, every time she saw her, fuck you, this is your fault. And she was screaming. It was like really, I mean, it wasn't funny to me because I was in pain. But there were a lot of women there having babies. And only one or two of them went crazy. So yeah, there is some of those. There is all kinds of different stories. But not everybody is the same. Not everybody's story is the same. And
that's
not everybody
and for the most
scream.
Part.
It's like, for the most part, it's painful as hell. But you know, everybody handles pain differently.
Yeah. Oh, wow. All right. Well, that's crazy.
Well, moving on to the next one. So, yeah, be honest. Right. Don't come back a second time. That's a great idea.
Yeah. And so, the third tip. Always say goodbye. Always say goodbye to your child. And it seems like a very common sense thing to say goodbye to your child. But like I said in the speech, it's amazing how many parents turn into ninjas as soon as they drop their children off and they just disappear out of the room. And the teachers don't know where they went. The children don't know where they went. And you turn around and you're just like, okay, I guess they're gone. Maybe they'll be coming back in, but I guess they're gone. And again, I get where that you know, what the thought process is. If you just skip the goodbye, there won't be the tears, there won't be all that sadness. But, you know, your child is going to turn around and it's going to scare them to death, but they're going to be shocked and really confused that you're out of the room. They didn't say goodbye and they're not going to know, like, are they coming back? You didn't have time to tell them, okay, I'm going to be back at this time. And you didn't have time to, you know, leave them in a nice way. And that's just going to set them up for a really rough morning or day at preschool if you just slip out of the room silently. So make sure that you always say goodbye and do keep it positive for them, because sometimes we were talking about this with the parents crying. I've had parents say to their child during drop-off, like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, with tears running down their face, and they run out of the room. And that's how it ends for the child, you know, and that's the image they have to to stay with for the rest of the day. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it definitely is. You know, you have all types of people dropping off, you know, and you don't, these parents,
right.
I'm sure they didn't think they were going to react like that. But it's an emotional time. But you have to think about the message that you're sending to your child. And if you're crying and if you're apologizing to them for sending them to this place, imagine how that makes them feel. And, you know, you have the choice whether or not you can send them to this school, but they have no choice. And so they're stuck there. You get to go to work, but they have to stay there where you're so sorry to leave them. And, again, that's going to make them feel very unsafe and like you're not even okay with the situation yourself. So put on a positive face.
And it makes them feel like you're doing something wrong. Like, I'm sorry, I have to slap you now. I'm going to slap you, but sorry, I have to do it.
Yeah.
It's just like saying,
exactly.
Oh,
it's like you're
doing something wrong instead of making it, I'm doing something beautiful for you.
Yeah, yeah, and that's exactly the attitude you should have. Even if you're feeling it on the inside, you're feeling pain and hurt, on the outside, project this idea of just like, wow, this is going to be so much fun for you. You know, look at all these toys. You have such a great time. You're going to look at all these friends you have to play with. Have a good time with your teacher, and you end it on a really positive note like that. You're going to have a great day. Tell me all about it tonight at dinner, and with a smile on your face. And then after you leave the classroom, that's whenever you can break down into tears, as long as your child cannot see or hear you. Then it's fine. But leave on a high note and keep it very positive. So that's my third tip right there.
I have to say that don't always say goodbye to your child is really huge. I mean, you just said it like it was nothing, but it's a huge thing. And I think not only when you drop off your child in school, if you're at home and you have a three-year-old and a babysitter comes in and the three-year-old takes the babysitter to her room to show her room and then you disappear and they come back and you're not there, that's also scary even if they're in their own home. You should never, ever disappear on a child when they're not looking.
Yeah.
It's just not fair. It's crazy. I mean, how would you like it if someone disappeared on you?
People don't like that.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think that a lot of times whenever people leave, it's this thing of like being just caught up in the emotion. There's so much going on. There's so much, you know, there's a lot of other kids maybe crying in the background. There's other parents trying to talk to you. You're meeting all these teachers. You're trying to, you know, there's a lot going on. And it's kind of like proposing. I don't know. Whenever I proposed, I had this whole plan of things I was going to do. And then I just blacked out whenever I was actually proposing. I don't even know what I did. And I think that's kind of how it is. You just kind of black out and you get out of that situation. You're done. And then it's like, wow, what happened? And that's where I think
a
lot of the... Yeah, exactly.
Well, that kind of happens to me every time I want to do a speech. I have it all planned out. And then when I'm there, I'm like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? And then when I'm done, it's like, what did I do? What did I just do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to get to that point with my speeches. But, yeah, like, it's just that's how you deal with, like, sensory overload, emotion overload, you know, at all times. And so my final point is – or
which is number five.
Number five.
That's okay.
Excellent. Is to use your teachers as the parent. Use your teachers for support. We're there – to talk with you, because our job is not only to be with your child and help them out with things, it's also to help you out with everything. That's what we're there for. So don't feel weird about asking us for help with drop-off or for tips or for advice or to help you, like physical help, like to hold your child or whatever it is. Like, we can help you with that, and we're happy to do it. And also, we know that a hard part of those first couple of days is going to work and then having to think about your child who might have just been crying as you left them and just like, wow, how are they doing? So feel free to reach out and say, hey, you know, can you just give me an email back and let me know how they're doing? And we can do that. We can give you phone calls at the end of the day. Some schools might even let you text with the teachers. We can be there to support you and to, you know, make you feel more, you know, assured of the whole situation. And that's just kind of how it goes. And also, give it time, because it's just like with anything with preschool and childhood, you just have to give it time. Things will get better. And the same thing with this. After a little while, it might seem like this massive problem that you have about drop-offs, but after a couple of days or weeks, it's going to get better, and you won't even think about it anymore in the mornings. So just stay with it, stay the course, and keep, you know, keep all of these tips in your mind and just keep going through your routine, you know? And that'll make for a much easier separation in the long run, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So let me summarize and tell me if I have it correct of all the points that you gave, because I think it's so important, especially right now. We're right before September, and a lot of parents are getting ready to get their five-year-olds ready to go. So number one, preparing for school before you ever take them there and make it like a positive experience, right? So it's a preparation.
Yep.
It's not like something that's going to be cold turkey. Boom, you're in school. Boom, goodbye. No, you're going to know beforehand. You're going to be looking forward to it. Obviously, the real experience is not going to be what the kid imagined, because I don't know, they can imagine something they've never done, but at least they know something is happening. There's this thing called school that they're going to be going to. So that's really important. So, and then the second one is when you actually show up in school and you drop off your child, don't come back after you said goodbye, even if they're speaking or crying. Because, like you said, I think that's hurtful. That's really hurtful for a baby, because unless you mean to come back and take him home, then basically you're coming back to make him go through it again. That's cruel, unusual punishment. So don't do that.
Yes, and also the other part of that is to give your child a warning before you go, like a 5-minute warning, or like read one more book. Let them set them up for you leaving.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah, let them know that in a little while, so they're in their mind. They may still cry, but at least they know in 5 minutes you're leaving that they're like 1% maybe prepared for it. So that's always good.
Yeah.
Then the third thing we talked about was always say goodbye to your child.
Actually, it's let your child know when you're going to be back. And and that's like where like you want to leave the room only once.
Let them know when you're coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you want to let them know when you're coming back so that they have an idea. I know that some children will chase you as a teacher all day long and say, like if a parent says, I'll be back after lunch, or they'll chase you around saying, when is lunch? When is lunch? When is after lunch? Like, you know, that's fine. But I guess you said that you have a schedule where they can go and check what's going to happen. And I think that gives them a lot of control and a lot of comfort knowing.
Absolutely.
Okay, so now you're not left yet, but you're letting them know when you're coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one is say goodbye to them. Say goodbye to your child and just disappear on them before you leave. Say, I love you, goodbye. Maybe give them a hug or whatever you want, but definitely say goodbye, right?
Yes, definitely.
Have you ever seen kids that their parents left them without saying goodbye, how they reacted?
Yeah, they usually turn around and they start calling for their mom, and they might run out of the classroom. Sometimes their parents are still in the hallway, sometimes they're not, and so the teacher has to go after them. Or they will just start crying and look to the teacher, and usually that's whenever you get the children that won't separate from a teacher, and it's because like for the whole day they'll be with the teacher the whole time, and it's because they don't want them to slip away like their parents did. And so it kind of sets them up to like, just not want to let go of an adult, whoever it is around them. But yeah, it can get pretty sad.
Cool. So number four, keep it positive for them. Don't cry. Don't apologize.
Mm-hmm.
Don't act like you're doing something horrible.
Yes.
Did I get that right?
Yeah, it's part of like always say goodbye and then like keep it positive. Yeah.
And I added to that, don't even go outside and cry. Don't even think about
it. The energy, yeah.
Yeah, I think it has to be a positive experience to the child, but it also has to be a positive experience to the parents. It's got to be a two-way.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So then number five, I have my own version of it. Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
Use your teacher for support. If your teachers don't support you, take your child and run.
Yes, that works. Why not? Check the
well.
Check your deposit policy at the school, and then take them along.
But I think I don't think I've ever met a teacher that didn't want to be supportive. Because even if they're not the most wonderful people, they're still going to be supportive on that first day.
Yeah, definitely. That's why we do what we do. It's like we're like the supportive people, and so that's what we gravitate towards. And so, yeah, we're definitely happy to help in these things, in these situations.
And you love your job, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So then number six, I think, is one of the most important things, and that's give it time. Because it's going to get better, mm-hmm. and keep all the tips in mind all the time until it gets better, until you feel comfortable with it. Is that fair enough, summary?
No, that sounds great.
There you go. So there you go. You have all the tips in the world that you need. Now all you have to do is do it. Go out and do it. And meanwhile, me and you are going to contemplate giving a class and get ready on how to drop off your child in school for nervous parents only.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So overall, I think, so you're talking about 5-year-olds, right? You're dealing with 5-year-olds, preschoolers, is that called pre-1A?
Actually like 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds or children just about to turn 2 and children just about to turn 3.
So you're talking about 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds. You're not talking about 5-year-olds. So basically, by the time they're 5, they should be pros already if they're in school since they're 2 or 3.
True, but, maybe they haven't gone to preschool yet. Maybe they are just starting kindergarten or just starting, pre-K. But I imagine that the older you get, the easier it is. But I still remember I cried whenever my mom dropped me off in kindergarten. So, yeah, mm-hmm. you can follow these tips for a whole lot of these.
Yeah, well, I was either a weird child or my mother did a great job preparing me for school because I couldn't wait to go to school. And when I got there, I was like, okay, get out of here already. And she would be like dwelling. I was like, Mom, go. And I loved it. So I think it does because my mom was very excited about taking me to school. She always loved school. So to her, it was a big treat. And I think it definitely comes through to any child. If you present it as a trip, and I think it's even bigger than that, Nick, because I think if you enjoy being in school when you're 3 years old or 2 years old, there's a good chance that you might enjoy school for the rest of your life. But if you hate it when you're 2 or 3 and you're traumatized at that age, there's a good chance that you're going to be traumatized for the rest of your life and hate school and not even be able to be in school. Do you think that there's a connection maybe?
I don't know about a long-term connection. I don't know how scientifically true it all is. But,
I don't either, but I'm just thinking.
Yeah, no. We definitely think about that. This is their first start with school, and they're going to be doing that for a lot more years of their life. And so, the pressure is on us to make it as positive and fun an experience as it can be for a child. And, the perks of it is that we don't have to make them sit down at a desk and do paperwork, right away.
Right.
our school is basically play and socializing. But, you do think about that. But what I wanted to say about the parents, too, is a lot of times parents have a good idea of how their child's going to react, and they're usually right. So your child, if they're really social, if they don't care whenever you leave a room, or sometimes they do care whenever you leave a room, and you kind of get a feeling for how your child will react. And usually the parents are right. So that we've had parents say oh, they're going to have a really hard time separating. And they know their child and they do have a hard time, but that's a good thing too, because it gives you more time to prepare yourself and your child, and how your child's going to be, so you prepare extra. Or if the child doesn't care if you're around, they could play all day without you, well, then they're probably going to have a good day, or an easy first day. So just kind of use what you know about your child and their personality to help gauge how concerned you should be about this drop-off.
I really think it's important tips, not just because for the tip itself. I think even just starting to think about it what are you going to do, how you're going to do it, even if you modify this, even if little things may work a little bit different for you, that's fine too. But thinking about it is what's important. How did you come up with all that? Did this happen after you started working for a while and you started looking at different styles of kids being dropped off? Like, what made you even start thinking about those tips? Because they're important, and I know that you learned a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it's one of these things that whenever you're starting up a new year at a preschool, you know it's going to happen. It happens every single year. And especially with a two-year-old classroom, it's going to be – they have a hard time, and I've worked both. And so you spend a lot of your first couple of days just, like, sitting with one child out in the hallway because the classroom is too much for them. So then you sit there with them as they're crying or just, you know, getting them calm. And it's – we even have, like a little thing for parents on the first couple of days because they're just half days because you want to let your child, you know, slowly integrate into the swing of school. So we'll dismiss like at 11 o'clock, but we have this thing downstairs called Tears and Tea. And mm-hmm. you go down there and you can have tea and coffee, but it's the parents, and that's where they can wait. And then if we need you, we can send down and have a parent come up to help console their child if they're just really not ready for that day. So it's kind of an infamous time of the school year for the preschool teacher. And, you know, some kids, I've had kids before that have issues separating, like, all the way into, like, February sometimes.
Wow.
And it's one of these big issues until it's not. And mm-hmm. eventually they're going to get the hang of it. Some children require a little bit of extra help. It's just one of these things you have to play by ear. But that's a rare thing also. It's not...
Mm-hmm. Normal.
It's not a typical thing to have a child wait until February, but it does happen. And then then they get comfortable and they come back the next year as a 3 or 4 year old and they do just fine. And so this big issue suddenly becomes a non-issue. And I've never seen a child who just like never acclimates. So.
Right. Eventually they do. Yeah. Do you think maybe if they don't, then there's something wrong with them?
Well, I mean, it can definitely be evidence of certain things. What's that?
You've never seen it, so it's not relevant.
Yeah, I mean, you even for like the children who it does take until March or whatever it is, that can be an indication. You know, they have you. I don't know. It can be. Maybe there's something going on at home. Maybe there's a certain reason why the child doesn't want to let go of their parent. You know, it could be because their parents are always out of – and sometimes you get regression, and you start wondering, like, I wonder if their parents are on a trip right now because they're crying all of a sudden in March, and they've been fine for months, but now at drop-off they're having a really hard time. Kids can go back and forth, and then you'll talk to the parent or the nanny or whoever, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, their dad's been out of town for 3 weeks. They're on a business trip in Hawaii. Or sometimes you'll get, oh, yeah, the mom just separated from the dad. And you're like, oh. And so,
that makes sense.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's like kind of like a long-term piece of advice for parents is, you know, even if you don't want to talk about, it's okay. You don't have to talk about your divorce or you don't have to talk about the troubles at home, but you are going to see effects of it from your child. Even if they can't talk yet, they're going to start wetting themselves more or, you know, not sleeping during nap time or crying at drop off or not wanting to go home at pickup time. And,
It's good
to connect these things to what's happening, and it's helpful, you know, if it is like a business trip or, you know, even if it is a separation. I've had parents tell me about their separation. It helps us kind of understand and be more prepared to help their child through a hard time.
Exactly.
You know, we don't sit down and, like, talk with them about, like, oh, your parents are getting divorced, but it helps us know that we need to give them more attention and to have more patience with them, like, whenever it does come to, like, drop off or something like that.
Right.
So yeah, it can be an indication of something. Yeah.
Absolutely. So there's so much like intricate little details that you don't really think about, that you really do need to think about when you go through different phases and different things. But dropping off, I think, is one of the huge things. Dropping off for the first time is a huge transition in life.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. So, have you ever had a situation where you needed to get a parent from the tea room? Is that a common thing?
Especially with the twos. Every so often you have like the child who is just like in that panic kind of cry, or they're just like, you can tell that they kind of like blacked out and it's just like a terror kind of cry, you know?
And, and you don't want to hear anymore.
And also you don't want the child to just be like going through it and
traumatized.
You know, there is, you can kind of tell the difference between like, oh, okay, if I sit with them for 5 more minutes, they're going to be fine. Or you can tell, okay, nothing I do is going to make this child calm down at this point. So I need to go get their parent and, you know, maybe they can go home or, you know, and especially in those early days, we do let parents stay all day long. I was talking about how you shouldn't stay all day, things like that. And you need to separate from your child whenever you say you're going to separate. But sometimes kids are just not ready for it. And so in those early days, we've done full days with parents before, and it's just supporting the family however we need to do it. So I definitely had that. I had one parent who just couldn't do it. And after a couple of months of trying, and the issue was with the parent, it wasn't with the child, but after, you know, the child did fine in school, but this parent just couldn't stop worrying. And I felt bad for them. You know, they just weren't ready. And so they took their child out and had them at home. And it's just, you know, it's whatever you need for yourself. And you just have to gauge it based on how comfortable you are and how comfortable your child is.
Mm-hmm. So what age group do you work with mostly?
Threes recently, last couple of years. Threes,
yeah.
Turning four.
What's your favorite age group?
I really do like the threes, but I'm kind of like wanting to go back to twos. I had a great time teaching kindergarten in the after school program. I did that in first grade for a couple of years. That was really nice. I kind of have. I taught second grade in a public school for a little bit. I've done high school kids. I've done middle school. Middle school is always that's the one. As teachers, you're like, if you teach middle school, you're really tough and you really know your stuff, because middle school is just a swirl of hormones and kids wanting to push boundaries and test limits and not yet a big kid, not yet, you know, not a small kid anymore. And so
they know everything you forgot.
yes, definitely. Very eager to prove themselves also all the time. But so, yeah, I mean, I really, at this point, I'm loving preschool. I'm loving, you know, working with the threes and the two-year-olds.
I love that you love whichever group you happen to work with. I think that's what it is. You love being a teacher. So you're going to find something that you love about everything that you do. And I love talking to you. And we've had a great conversation. And I didn't even realize that we are down to the 90-second mark. So I really wanted to wrap it up. And I know it's like when you're having fun, time just totally flies. So I just wanted to kind of summarize and tell me what would be your final words that you would say that you think is really important to take away from all of this.
It's just really to stay the course with anything with childhood, especially drop-offs. It's going to get better. And just to give it time, give your child time to grow. Often that's the answer. If there's an issue, it's usually that your child is not mature or at that point yet. So give it some time.
I think those are really wise words to finish it off with, because no matter what you're going through, no matter how difficult it seems, and no matter how irreversible or difficult, the one thing to always remember, it's going to get better, Nick.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that you said that. And so, yes, I want to wish everybody an amazing journey, an amazing week. And keep that in mind. It's going to get better. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us, Nick. I really appreciate it. And thank you for all your words of wisdom. And thank you for giving the speech to Toastmasters. Coming up soon, we are going to have the Bi-Coastal Toastmasters, where we're going to have people from the East and the West meet right here on CP Talk on a Toastmasters call. So stay tuned for next week. We have also Maxwell Jordan. I don't know if you heard of him. An amazing guy that has spent the last 50 years of his life researching the truth behind the obvious. And basically his premise is that nothing is the way it seems and everything is totally not what we think it is. I think that's an amazing person who has spent his entire life just looking and looking and looking for answers. And we have a lot of really great things coming up. Thank you again, Nick, for joining us. I really, really enjoy talking to you. I really think every mother with a child is going to have to listen to this, and then we'll discuss about taking it further and what else we can do. And I'll sit back, enjoy the music, and Nick, I'm going to let you say the last words.
Okay. thank you so much for having me, Tepi.
Didn't mean to do that to you, but you're welcome.
That's all right.
Have a wonderful journey.